people showed up. There for a while it looked like maybe we should be sitting in a circle this evening to talk. I would say that I allowed a good amount of time for your contributions, so I'd like for you to be thinking about things that you want to share about how you have served and how what the effects have been, how you have been served as well. After church on Sunday, there was a little discussion, and I mentioned that I hope to hear a lot of discussion from the group about serving. And in the few people that were standing around there, it was mentioned that it's likely that it will be easier to talk about ways that we have been served than to serve. I would welcome that. I would add, though, that it's likely that you have found it easier to serve than to be served. And just an interesting little twist there. So please be free to talk at any time, and I look forward to discussion from you. I am, as most of you, have been privileged to grow up in a rural community where there is a really strong sense of community, where we've had Christian parents, and where we service has not been a thing that's foreign to us. I particularly look at my parents as having been servants, and perhaps they were not more that way than any of your parents were. I'm conscious of the fact that when people of that age were building their lives, it took a strong sense of community to work to carry on their occupations. Most of them were engaged in agriculture, and at that time there was a lot of hand labor, and it was a huge chore to do some of those tasks like harvesting. And so there was a working together, obviously. In many cases, they were paid back in kind, and there were also the people who were less fortunate than the average, and I suppose that they were that it took some care and some service on the part of neighbors at times, because there simply was not a lot. I hear stories about I've heard stories about how what kind of a food budget my parents had and how they worked to stretch the dollars. And I think community was more important to them than what we recognize, or what we tend to recognize community now. My parents frequently visited people on Sunday evenings. Visiting widows was a common thing. We would go and visit. That was one way to do a kind of service. Perry Lee still talks about the things my parents did, the way they interacted with his mother. There were many others here who did the very same kind of things, and but I remember that they seemed to have a close friendship with Emma, and that was a way that people served and still do. I'm not trying to say that we don't do that anymore. I remember Dad going out of state on MDS projects. We still do that today, but as a youngster, Dad having a farm and being really busy, he still had time to do those things. It's been a long, long time since I have taken time to go away for a week and do that kind of service. One of the things my mother did was she had an egg project. She had laying hens, and how I hated to gather eggs and feed chickens and carry water. But she made her weekly runs to town with eggs. And I remember the attitude was that if it were for the money, this wouldn't be worth it. It wouldn't work dollar-wise to do this. But that was her mission field. She was very free to talk to people about matters of faith. And that gave her access to people at the south part of town that she would see repeatedly. And I would go with her. And there were the places where they took so many dozen eggs every week, and we delivered eggs. That was her ministry, her way of serving a certain segment of people. I have faint memories of Dad helping to care for a man who was on his deathbed. I don't even remember his name. David might. Ildadi, yeah, that rang. Il is what stuck in my mind, and that was Eli, was it?
Miller.
How's that?
Miller.
Eli Miller. Okay, very, very interesting. There were a group of men. I don't know how many there were. I don't know what the rotation was, but he needed care, and there were men who stayed with him at night. I understand until his death. That was a simple but a very important way of serving. Excuse me. One of the things that convinces me of Dad's servant heart was that he had he farmed for some landlords that not everyone appreciated, and one was recognized as being impossible, but somehow Dad kept a relationship that enabled him to keep serving that landlord. And I remember once years ago when the name came up, one of my unbelieving neighbors just without skipping a beat said, "Your dad has a special place in heaven for what he did." And I know there were times when it seemed like he had a pretty thankless job, but There was something about the kindness that he continued to show and the persistence with which he served that couldn't help but send a message, if not to that landlord, to other people around. My mother never wanted to be a burden to anyone. And at this stage of life, she is needing constant care. And at this point now, my sister is caring for her many, many hours a week. We're finding that if we persist, insist, whatever, she will let us, Twyla generally, stay with Mom and free her up. And she's becoming a little more comfortable with doing that. But we recognize Rose's job of serving as just being a huge, huge benefit to us, to my mother. There's really no one that we know of that could do for her what Rosa does. And they tell us that someone in Mom's condition simply does better at home with a caring family serving her. And that probably contributes to her longevity. She is 97 now, and if she survives, and it looks like she probably will, this summer she'll be 98. That's that's the that's the reward of service. One of our daughters, Uni here, does house cleaning. She has cleaned houses for a pretty good variety of people, and she does some therapy too. Some of it is for no compensation, and some of it pays pretty well. She did a year of basically free service to people who had needs after she was out of high school, and it was a bit of an adjustment to go from serving people who had needs to serving people who really had quite a lot to as far as this world's goods go, and compensated her quite well. It was not quite as satisfying. And incidentally, just as a matter of interest, I think she would say that some of the less fulfilling work that she has done has been for people who have needed so little and are Christian and have so much. And I give a lot of different examples here of service to help us see that service is still service. It may be to very, very needy people. It may be to people who don't appreciate it. It may be to people who can compensate very well. But everyone has a need, and everyone needs to be cared for. And I think what we convey, excuse me, perhaps a little hydration will help. I think basically what service is caring for people, and or that I would say is at the heart of service. Well, I have rambled a long time. I'll wait a bit to open it up for more discussion. What is the basis for service as far as a scriptural background goes? I would like to share a verse from Ephesians. That's chapter 2, the 10th verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One thing this verse would imply is that we are made, God created us to do good. He didn't create us only to do good works. He created us for his glory. But an important part of our worship, which is our service to God, is serving our fellow men. And I would also point to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'll read First John 3:17 also. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And I think having this world's goods would imply financial possession, material possession. But as it is stated here, I don't think that is expected to be given without a heart of love for our fellow men and a heart of service. The most important person that ever walked on this earth was the servant of servants. Jesus gave us examples of service. In Mark 10:45, he says that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. In the washing of feet, Jesus gave an example of stooping to wash feet. I think that had a natural or it automatically had a meaning for them that we don't quite get, because we tend to keep our feet covered and we don't walk on dusty roads and so on. So that was offered not just as a ritual, but a necessary service that they provided, and Jesus did that for those that looked to him as their leader. And then the bit of advice that Jesus gives: he that is greatest among you, let him be servant. In many cases, we don't think of service as being hugely sacrificial, as some have experienced it. I'm supposing everyone here has heard the story about the two Moravian brethren who heard of slaves on an island who had absolutely no access to the gospel because no one was allowed there. A hard master kept the gospel from them, and they took the extreme measure of selling themselves as slaves to buy passage to go to that island and minister to them. I checked several sources, and they disagreed on what the end of them was. So I really don't know, but the account that I heard from my youth was that they eventually died there. They simply gave their freedom and stayed there. Saint Patrick is another one. Accounts vary on his exactly how that all played out, but as a young as a youth, he was taken captive and taken to Ireland and was a slave. He came from a prominent family. While there, he worked with another slave who was who submitted to that slavery and was faithful in ministering to people. He shared the gospel, and he persisted until Patrick accepted the Lord. But he continued to pray for deliverance, and he prayed and prayed for years. I believe he was there for about 7 years until a voice directed him to leave, and he was miraculously removed from Ireland and went back to his home. Let's see, now it escapes me where he came from. He found his family again after those years, but God had such a hold on him that he became he was driven to go back to Ireland and minister. He had to pass hurdles this time to get there, but he persisted for years until he was able to get back there, and there is where he sacrificed his life, as in gave his time, his life to serving there for the gospel. Well, if you're a parent, and many of you are, you know something about serving. If you're a child, you probably know something about serving too. In our family setting, there's quite a bit of service that goes on every day. What drives our service? A lot of times, serving is kind of a thankless job. I think we're fortunate here to be in a group that has that gives a lot of opportunity for serving. There's the Rise Church, which is why most of our young people are not here this evening. And I think it is most commendable that they have done the organization that they have, and it's really a fairly massive, I mean, to me, it looks like a pretty massive project. It is no small thing to pick up around 100 children one night a week and have the different the different classes with them. They call them the tracks, and then feed them a snack and take them back home again. So far, everyone in one piece. According to the stories we hear, there are they hear and see some amazing things, but they've had an opportunity to minister to a lot of people, not just the children, but to parents too, and I think that's deserving of our encouragement and support. Hands of Christ is another one that this church is quite involved in. Everyone who contributes to the offering on the Sunday when it's received for Hands of Christ has a part. There is no doubt that Paul is more involved than anyone else here in the day-to-day things, and I always enjoy hearing what's happening. Paul, I hope that you don't feel don't get to feel like we may be hearing too much from you, because I appreciate those updates, and my encouragement would be to keep that coming and keep us informed. Sometime back, Paul was helping someone move that was needing to get out of the house that they were living in, and in the process of helping, the person just announced that he isn't giving a thing for this service. And Paul admits that having it spoken in such a way, it kind of got to his flesh just a little bit. And that's not hard to understand, even when there is, we want to see some kind of result. Some kind of a positive result when we do service, and when it's just bluntly stated that there will be no result, obviously not even much of a thank you, perhaps. It's not too encouraging to serve when that's the case. Well, I would like to hear from you. I've talked about a lot of different kinds of serving and some of the things we're doing here. Could I hear some things from you about, it may be directly related to some of the ministries that I've mentioned, and it may just be experiences that you've had on your own.
I think back several years, maybe more than I think, a call came around saying there was a windstorm and a barn blew over here west of Joe Yoder, and called for help, and I was planning to go, and all he calls me and says he'd like to have some help with going assessing some properties that were damaged. And I said, yeah, okay, I could do that in lieu of helping at the barn fundraising. And so I went with Ollie, and we went over to Joe's, and just seeing all the people working together in one common cause, it blessed my heart to see that Joe was a recipient, but there was lots of people helping make an undaunting project manager.
Thanks for bringing that up. After that time, when that happens, I think about ways that I want to try to express my thanks for that the gift I received that day. And I don't feel like I ever got that done sufficiently. I remember talking to Ollie. I of course called him soon after. Well, the same evening the barn came down, and because he was our CAM rep, and we talked again the next morning, and I was feeling helpless. The barn was everywhere, and we couldn't get to the garage. It was really spread out, and I just asked Ollie, "Where do I go from here?" Because I didn't know. It was at a very busy time of the year. Because of the rain, we had about 2 days when we couldn't be in the field, and he said, "Well, let me see." And so he got the ball rolling, and that was, I don't remember what time that was. It may have been 8 o'clock. It may have been between 8 and 9. And around noon, maybe it was right after noon that the appointed time was to start, and it was just incredible how many people showed up, and it was something that made news, and there were a lot of people saw how quickly you people could help to alleviate a crisis. And in one afternoon, it was brought under control, and then several people came the next day and spent about the whole day there with some of the more tedious stuff that had to be moved bit by bit. But whoever was involved, I just want to say a huge thank you for that. It was also that I had some other stress around that time that made that project bigger yet than it would have been at some other times, and the mess I had there while I cleaned up and salvaged some of the stuff that I felt ought to be salvaged out of the old historic building. It kind of actually probably kind of messed with my mind a little bit, and my wife still talks about it, that emotionally and mentally that was an enormous setback, but thanks to you for helping to bring things under control. What other comments and experiences? Nathan.
Something I've had to deal with sometimes. It's easy to get a certain picture about what service is. That service is certain types of things. And sometimes I've found sometimes the things that I thought as the most common types of service were not the kind of things that I did the best. And well, I think we can. A lot of us can reach out, serve in different ways. I think it can be sometimes it's a good, I found it good sometimes and to also accept who I am and serve in the things I do best, especially.
Mm-hmm. Exercising gifts.
Yeah. but it is an area of need, and I've enjoyed my parts, and I just look around this room and I think, wow, how many people serve on committees or boards to help with this community?
Thank you, Gary. That leads into something that I was going to mention, and that is the service that this congregation receives from our pastors. I hope that we're aware enough to not take that completely for granted. I just imagine that to a large extent we do take the service of our ministry for granted. I heard a friend of mine was telling me about a very difficult time in his life when it had become difficult to function. And he said how his wife called the bishop, and even if he's my brother, I will gladly mention his name. It was David. He said he described the feeling he got when he saw him step in the door and take off his shoes. And that, I think that was the day that there was a big breakthrough. And he seemed to get released from what was seeming to bind him. And we've got our jobs, we've got our things to do, but what is important? And David also has a boss that allows for that kind of flexibility to serve and to meet needs. And so there's a kind of teamwork that we benefit from enormously. I look around at the other ministers and the gifts and the way that they serve. This church is just blessed beyond measure in what we receive because of our leaders being willing to put that kind of service give that kind of service its highest priority. Anyone else? Yes.
One of the ways I think, I'm thinking of two examples of that. When I was an usher, I remember Mark was the head usher. He said something about, let's not forget that this is our job as ushers, is serving.
Yeah.
And the other example I was thinking of were our missionaries. There's people from here who are out, they're walking away from some pretty comfortable things when they leave this body and go to those places. And I think
Yes. And I was going to mention that early on when I was talking about service. Another thing, you walk past the bulletin board over there with the missionaries. We have a lot of people who have gone out from here and are serving. You mentioned the ushers. That is a really important job. It is said that a newcomer will have sized up the congregation in the time it takes to walk from that door to the place where he's going to sit. There's something in the air, and people feel it. If you are interested in them, and you welcome them, they catch it very quickly. Daryl mentioned the two kinds of service, and I think it's I've often said that I think a lot of the success of this congregation is the amount of energy that's going out. Let's not forget, though, that we're still people, we're still humans, we're still fragile, flawed humans that need each other. It's pretty important that people here feel cared for by other people here. We can fuel each other up. We can energize each other. Dr. Jana has been here after, well, how many years did she serve when she came back? And for a time of recuperating from just really burning out. And some of that was from seeing so many needs that she could address only to a certain degree and then have the medical profession that could have finished the job or done more of the job drop the ball because there wasn't this wasn't going to be profitable, and so they simply wouldn't take the case. And there are a lot of things that drain our system. That would be one of them. But we can do that among ourselves. We can burn out, and it's important that we serve, that we care for each other and care about each other in a way that we help to energize and to replenish that energy that goes out. Yes. Yes. Yes.
He would rather be on the paying side than on the receiving side. And that kind of an attitude is a good one to have if you work with our brothers.
From experience, I can tell you that is right. Caleb. Thank you. Dwight?
Mm-hmm. When we stop serving each other within the church, we become dysfunctional. That will at least limit very much how much we can do outside the church. So while a lot of energy is going out, I think the basis, the foundation is within the church.
It's being generated somewhere, isn't it? Yes. Let's see, Marvin mentioned our mutual aid. I'm a believer in mutual aid. I really, really hope that we can keep that concept of doing this to care for each other not just in a financial way. It's good business to not pay another institution to handle our money. That's good business. But the principle is, there's a lot more to it than just that. And I've felt like Mennonites perhaps are pretty focused on keeping the money fairly close to home. I'm not critical of sound management. I'm just concerned that we don't lose sight of the thing of caring for people. About a year ago, there was an Anabaptist financial seminar held the Journey at Yoder, and Marvin Mast was kind of nudging me to go. I wanted to go, I just didn't get my registration in, and of course he was concerned about getting enough registration to make it worthwhile, so he nudged me a little more, and I had a little of this uneasiness about the feelings I just expressed about our focus on managing the dollars. So I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I was just blessed immensely. If they taught us how to keep our money, I missed it. What they taught us all day long, it seemed to me, was how to care for people. I was so blessed that they saw business as a way to serve the kingdom. And so my thanks goes to the people who put that together for that focus. I see we're needing to quit. I'd like to mention one other story that is on my mind. How many of you have gotten to know Dwight Kratzer, who's been here the last number of about three or four Sundays? Well, two or three Sundays. I have really enjoyed visiting with him, and when he says he has a woodworking shop, I picture a woodworking shop. It so turns out that there are about 100 employees, and when I talk to Dwight, he is so enthusiastic about the people that he is able to serve as he leads that business. And he even said they had a really high needs person come work there. His son and his wife actually packed lunch for this person because he ate so poorly. And I think that is the person then who later really excelled and was able to find his place in the office and played a very important role there. Unfortunately, we always like to end with a success story. Unfortunately, as he experienced success, then he began to fail, and they finally had to let him go because it simply was not working. And Dwight still has contact with him though, and now he is asking if his son could have a job there. So that's another way of ministering. And I'm blessed when I hear stories like that. And I think That should be our goal. Our work is our ministry. What we do I'm told the first question or the highest consideration when the average person is looking for a job is what's the retirement? And what a miserable life! Just from a natural standpoint, if all I had to do was work for retirement, I would need retirement very soon. But because I have to love what I do, and in choosing a vocation, a job, a business, our first consideration should be how can we serve? How will this, how does this work into my life to enable me to serve the kingdom? Thank you very much for your attention and for your contributions.
Thank you, Joe. That was interesting. I was blessed.